attendance, correct?
No.
Tonight, this question will be, what's the best appropriate Halloween costume you've ever done? Keep it appropriate.
Miller?
Last year, me and three friends went as the Anchorman crew, and I was Brian Fantana.
Yes.
So it was pretty good.
Eva?
Last year I did Indiana Jones.
Gustafson?
In high school I had a really intense equestrian costume, so I had like the riding pants and like the hat and the jacket and the crop. It was good.
Ross? Peterson?
I would say when I was a little kid I was a bumblebee and I was so excited that I wore it outside of Halloween. So
Wicklin? Lettich? Getty? Karen? Tom?
White bunny?
Bowser?
This year I'm planning on being Walter White. So I don't know if that's appropriate or not.
A couple years ago I was a king size leprechaun.
Last year I was the Riddler from Batman.
How?
Last year me and a couple of my buddies just went dressed as dads.
Okay.
I dressed up as one of my teachers in high school one day.
Sing.
I used to have a scream mask that you could like pump blood into it when you drink that. So
Mayhem?
Last year me and my friends went as modern versions of the Wizard of Oz crew.
Stop it.
I was Rorschach one year.
Thrash.
I've done both the Riddler and one of my teachers, so I'm going to go with Charmeleon.
Wagoner?
When I was younger, I had an obsession with being the same costume every year, so I was like a firefighter for like 6 years. It's like 2 to 8.
Jensen?
This last year, I had a pretty neat Pikachu.
Brent? Whis?
Last year I was Cosmo from the Fairly Odd Parents.
Panzer?
Last year I went as the Oli family with two friends. And we had a Chris and a Chester, and the highlight was certainly getting professional portraits done in the marketing office.
Cool.
Yeah. President Oli loved it too. We stood outside the cat place and like, go Gushies, how are you? Good to see you.
When I was 6, I went as Batman, and you just can't get better than that.
Ferocious? Sweet?
I'd say mine is definitely a tie between when I went as Sarah Palin in high school and when I went as Hillary Clinton last year.
In third grade, I definitely did have a stellar costume of President William Howard Taft. One year when I was younger, I wore a suit, had a briefcase, I walked around and didn't accept candy, I handed out business cards. I wanted to be a businessman.
Sir, what's the question?
Best Halloween costume.
I've only had one last year. I wore a scary movie mask.
Perfect. Feminine?
I was Nancy Drew.
Administrative Director Knudsen?
All of you are way cooler than me. I really like Halloween, but I think my best costume, I made a turtle shell out of cardboard and felt. So, not great. Not a great costume.
And Jonas?
My mother made me a witch costume, so I always had to be a witch. But the best year was the year that I insisted on carrying the black kitten around with me, which ended up just being nothing but trouble.
And with that, we do have quorum. Awesome. And we'll move on to approval of the minutes from the 13th. Any discrepancies with the minutes from the 13th? Any discrepancies? Seeing none, we'll move to a vote for approval of the minutes from October 13th, 2014. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? Abstentions? The minutes are approved. We will now move on to community comment. Is there anyone here from the community who wishes to comment?
Hi there.
All right, go ahead.
Hi, I'm Carl, and this is
Ashley.
Ashley. I'm from College Democrats, and she's from College Republicans, and we're here to announce that on Thursday, this coming Thursday, October 30th, at 6:30, in the Three Crowns Room, the Chaplain's Office, College Democrats, and College Republicans will be hosting a public conversation between Kim Spears and Clark Johnson, both candidates for Minnesota House of Representatives, seat District 19A. And so that event will start off at 6:30 with free pizza, and we hope that you all show up. So thank you.
Can you say the time one more time?
6:30 p.m.
Awesome. Thank you so much. Is there anyone else from the community who wishes to comment? Any other community comment? Community comment. Seeing none, we'll now move on to old business. You're welcome to say if you would like. If not, you're free to go. All right, the first item of old business that we have is a committee update. So, health and housing, would you fill us in on what you've been working on?
Yes, so I just have a few things we have tried to address. First of all, we contacted the Building Bridges co-chairs and just affirmed that we really stand by their mission this year and would love to help them in any way that we can. They acknowledge that I'm sort of like their channel to this body and that we as a group really are very impressed with steps they're taking this year and fully support their work. We are investigating details on last year's weight room renovations. Senator Boucher is leading that. We have sent an email about sidewalk additions to the physical plant on the south side of Pittman and Sorey, south side of Convict leading out of Pittman and Sorey. We are working on collaborative kitchen cabinet. This is an idea that sprung out of that body. It'd be a take your professor to lunch day, which would be derived out of the research and work that Lisa Helkian's philosophy has done, which really works to tie in our dining mission with the broader missions of the college and really acknowledge how much of a conversational impetus for conversation sharing a meal is. So we're looking for a program in which students can sit down with a professor, administrator, or faculty member and just sort of have an excuse to sit down and chat over some food that would be subsidized or free, and it sort of really works to tie in the educational and dining missions of the college. Just this evening we had a nice conversation with Charlie Potts, director of Res Life. We addressed visitation hour policy, room draw issues, and adding student senate bulletin boards, as well as a concern that was brought up about students who are abstaining or fasting from electronics for a variety of reasons, not being able to get into res halls without using electric devices, i.e. key cards. So we were talking about that. But our main task we were charged with was talking about visitation hour policy. And the two angles we took on that, as a reminder, were first sort of a gender concern with visitation hours. And the second was just sort of the inconsistency of enforcement that we had had that we had heard from. It is primarily a tool to be used, and that they feel strongly that the training is that CFs will use that as they need in other confrontations, and that a visitation hour issue is never sort of a standalone thing. It's just not the presence of somebody in a dorm at late hour. It's always that they're being loud, there's alcohol involved, there's loud music, and there's something else. Say didn't feel that there's a big merit to really investigating aggressively and change the policy, and that the consequences are pretty weak for these violations, and all in all, just really feel confident that the training is adequate. That they'll look to kind of make sure that that's very clear that CFs have this visitation hour policy. That's different, just, you know, from like first year to upperclassmen halls, not assigned to go door to door with 3 years of listening each night, but as something to use if there's another like roommate conflict. That's, oh, and then we also just talked about room draw. I think we, as a committee, really hear sort of the justification and the benefits of the current room draw process. All in all, I certainly feel confident it's a very impressive process for a really challenging issue, and that there are some conceptual issues in the student body about what the mission of a residential, you know, four-year residential college is, and that there's a gap there, and our suggestion was to continue brainstorming how Health and Housing Committee and Student Senate can work to really make sure that come room draw, the reason for the way policies are is clearer than it has been in the past. So just our next move going forth from the room draw issues is to investigate how we can help instill a broader awareness of the policy in the student body. Sorry, that's rambly, but I think that's the bulk of what we tackled in the last week.
Are there any questions for the health and housing update? Senator Thrash?
I mentioned to you a conversation I had with the PA via text. Has that come up at all?
No. I had a conversation with another PA, not the one that you had mentioned, in that it is being discussed. So, in that he referred me to a different body that would be like making this change. So could you?
For the sake of the body, one of my constituents is a PA. I was talking to him offline, and he said someone from admin, he didn't know who, someone up the chain from the PAs wants to set it to where your parents will be notified if you use medical amnesty. Mm-hmm. So if you call for medical amnesty and nothing disciplinary will happen to you, as your parents would get a notification that said, hey, your kid, Ben, used medical amnesty on this night.
Okay, seriously, who said that in the administration?
No, not even administration. An individual PA told me this.
But if the PA said that somebody in the administration wants the PA to
He said that's what he was told, yes.
Like, I want to know who that is, because that is the stupidest thing I've ever heard in my life. Not the PA, the administrator.
I can tell you who it is, and you can talk to him if you want.
I so will. Because that's just ridiculous. Yeah. That is like the opposite of what medical amnesty exists for.
Well, that's why it's an issue. That's why I brought it to say attention, right? Health and care attention. So,
yeah, thanks, Senator Thrash. That was certainly Senator Thrash's reaction to mine, as well as the other PAs I talked to. So,
yeah.
I'll look into that and see if there's any.
Okay.
I
yield my time.
Any other questions for the health and housing update? Any other questions? All right, seeing none, we'll move to the next committee, which is kind of the co-presidents. I just want to give an update on the readership program that we did today. Most of you actually already got the email. We passed out 200 papers today and flyers to a bunch of students promoting the program. I personally heard a lot of people saying that they didn't know that the papers were free and for students. So that's exciting. So just wanted to let everyone know that went well. Handed out a lot of papers, and I think overall it was a good event. Any questions for the co-presidents or about readership?
So what is this look like for us? So like, are we going to be handing out papers during chapel break now, or like what's
going to
be happening?
That was me standing. I will say that we haven't necessarily discussed multiple promotionals. In the past, readership has been promoted once with the door-to-door paper in front of the door. If the body so thought that it was a good idea to possibly do this again, that's up to the purview of the body. But so far, we haven't discussed doing another promotional.
So we're just promoting it, and now people know about it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Any other questions? All right, seeing none, we'll open it up to any other committee chair that wishes to give an update. Does any committee chair wish to give an update?
required by anybody.
But thank you, but yeah, just a short one. Ethics Committee's been doing some great work with the Constitution, finding things that are making it more efficient. So we're still going through the process of reviewing that, but once we get that done, we'll have all of our revisions brought in bulk so that we can go through them. It shouldn't go too long, but just so that the Senate can review them as well. And that's pretty much it.
Any questions about the updates to the Constitution? Any questions? Co-President Timmons?
If a senator were reading the Constitution and saw some sort of irregularity, how would they address that?
Definitely. I think they could take that, I mean, bring that to any member of the Ethics Committee, bring it to me if you see me right away, and just say, hey, like, this is what I see, article this, section this, and we'll take a look at it at our next meeting.
Any other questions? All right, we will now move on to other old business. Is there any other old business?
Yeah, so Gabe can't be here right now, but he asked me to give a few updates about Diversity Committee. And so Diversity Committee has been approached about researching gender-neutral housing. So if any of y'all are interested in gender-neutral housing, please contact Gabe.
Is there any other old business?
One of information. What committee do we charge the issue of rent parking?
Rent parking, I believe, was during the pandemic.
Do we need an update? Has there been anything done on that yet? What in specific? Like the issue where there's an abundance of rent parking permits given out this year, the correlation of spots and the areas that they're in. The abundance of open spots are way over by Prairie View and the majority of rent parking in co-ed complex Euler area.
Mm-hmm. Right now is primarily, we are in discussion. I'm meeting with Carol Brewer on Thursday. Already spoken with several other people on the issue. We don't have a set solution now. We have a couple of ideas about how we would like to go about fixing the issue of parking in general. But before we actually do any of that, we are probably going to send out a comprehensive survey to the student body to first off see how large an issue this actually is, and also to see specifically where the issues lie, such as in that circumstance of just having very concentrated red parking permit areas. Thank you.
Any other old business items?
I do.
It's
you.
Senator Sobeck?
You.
Any other old business? Old business? Old business? Seeing none, we will now move on to new business. The first item for new business is actually a finance budget. So we will turn it over to the finance team.
We actually have two.
There's two? Okay.
So our first one is Eta Sigma Phi, and they approached us about their Roman food banquet for a mid-year allocation. And just as a little background, the Finance Committee discussed guidelines that we wanted to have when recommending mid-years that involved food at the event. So we discussed that food was essential at an event, such as a cultural event. We would cap the mid-year at $1,500. And if food was non-essential at the event, we would pay half of the food cost up to $50. And these are just guidelines that we established as a committee. So we did decide to recommend in full. They had all the proper documentation, and I would like them to.
Great. Hi, I'm Amy Goblish. I'm the president of Eta Sigma Phi. And so this budget is for the Roman Banquet, which is an event we put on annually. If you don't know, Eta Sigma Phi is the National Classics Honor Society. And so what we do is we get these recipes from an ancient author named Virgil. So they're written in Latin, we translate them, and we prepare the food. So it's pretty fun just like in that aspect to like literally recreate the past. And so we cook up these recipes, we teach the students about, or whoever comes, about the culture behind the banquets and the food and who would be eating this and when. And so it's just a pretty fun event for a lot of reasons. It's free and open to the public. We advertise it for everybody. It's so, really like to use it as a celebration of Roman culture around banquets specifically, which is it's an aspect of culture that they don't really get to teach in class a lot, because there's not a lot of time. So it's a way to pique interest in the subject for like students of classical studies and not. So we advertise it pretty heavily, obviously, to the students who are taking classical studies classes right now. But I know the C2 kids also get a lot of advertisement for it, and they bring friends, so it ends up being a pretty diverse crowd. So that's my pitch.
Awesome. At this point, we'll move it open to discussion by the floor. Is there any discussion on the budget or questions for the organization? Sanders, you got it.
In regards to the food, can you just like go, other than just like what's on there, can you kind of give us a little rundown of like what the plates are going to be?
Sure. So we're going to have, we're going to follow the course of like a general Roman banquet. So it's going to be like an appetizer type course, which is going to be like figs and like nuts and stuff like that they would have eaten. The main course is going to be two different kinds of meat and then a vegetarian option. So the meat's a like traditional fish dish, and then we're going to use sausage because we don't eat dormice anymore, but that's what it's supposed to be. And then like a vegetarian lentil type soup that they would have eaten. And then there's also going to be a dessert, which is like a honey cake.
Are there any other questions or discussion on the budget? Senator Thrash?
Question for the controller. To be clear, are you funding half of this?
No, we determined that this event would be essential for the event.
Any other discussion?
I just have to say, as part of the finance committee and as a voting senator, I think it's important that early on in the year, specifically right now, since this is basically our first budget, that we set a precedent whether we're going to do this or not. And these are just guidelines that we came up with inside the finance committee. That doesn't necessarily mean that we have to follow them on the floor. That's just what we chose. We, I guess, decided to follow. But I mean, I'm definitely in support of funding this in full. I just wanted to say that outright, that I think it is important to understand that once we do let one of these go, when these start coming up later in the year, and specifically during spring financing, that we are conscious about what we've done in the past in this specific, student senate year, and just be conscious about that and make sure that, you know, we are really being open to all groups, but sticking true to precedents that we have set. And I yield.
Senator Hagman.
Could an organization like this or any likewise organizations have more than one essential thing like this? Could they keep having like an essential thing where they require funding like monthly or semesterly, or would it just be like a one? Yeah, I yield.
There are a multitude of student organizations that could host any sort of event at any sort of time, and we've never, as a body, considered the frequency of dates as a criterion for funding. But as far as, is there a set number, or is there a required number, or expected number? Absolutely not.
Okay, thank you. I yield.
Any other discussion? Discussion? Seeing none, we'll move to a vote on the budget. All those in favor of approving the budget as recommended by the Finance Committee at $121.04, please signify by saying aye.
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 All those opposed? Any abstentions?
Abstain.
The budget passes. Thank you for coming in.
All right, thank you guys.
We'll now turn it back to the Finance. Yes. Yep.
So our second budget is Society of Physics. And they requested $300 for their major for a speaker. We did decide to recommend it in full, and this is only a third of the cost of the speaker. It was $1,000, and then they're also paying for his meals and transportation, so this is less than a third of the cost of the speaker.
Awesome. We'll now open the floor to discussion and questions. Senator Thrash.
Is it safe to assume that the speaker has been paid? He's talking in 2 days.
I believe so.
Would you yield to John?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
My best guess is that they haven't paid the speaker because our normal institutional practices are to pay speakers after they've spoken, not before they've spoken.
Oh, okay.
So it's likely that the person could have been contractually hired, but I would bet that they haven't been paid.
Okay. So, in other words, there's no risk that we're retroactively funding this, really. But my issue with this budget is that if we don't pay this, then there's the chance that physics is kind of up a creek as far as getting as far as paying the student. What we don't want, or this woman, I don't know the gender of the speaker, anyway. What we don't want is to get into a situation where we have a precedent of people going out, hiring speakers, and then coming to us later with a mid-year for the funding. I know that's happened in the past and it's been a problem. So I would advise the body to at least consider that before we vote on this budget. I yield.
Any other discussion? 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 Seeing none, we'll now move to a vote on the budget. All those in favor of approving the budget as recommended by Finance Committee at $300, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed?
Nay.
Any abstentions? The budget passes. And that is the final item, correct, for the finance portion? Awesome. With that, we'll now move on to other new business. Is there any other new? Senator Skiba.
All right, so I have a safety concern that I want to address towards Chapel View, and right now there are two entrances to get into Chapel View, and one of them is a shared entrance with the local church parking lot, and at about 10:30 at night, the local church parking lot turns off their lights, and it becomes hard to see going into Chapel View, so I would like to make a motion towards the Health and Housing Committee to see if they can look into fixing this issue by either like going to physical plant and having them either help put up a sign for those late hours, or like some sort of reflector post, or even just a new street lamp to get into that entrance so that people can actually see it.
See, would you be able to join us?
I think technically we're not allowed to use the church driveway. So I think that officially all Gustavus traffic is supposed to go
to Nicolet, the other
to go
entrance.
To Nicolet and come around, and that we're not actually like we're not supposed to use the church driveway, and that the church is like we the church is just kind to us and doesn't call the cops every time everybody drives
then,
through like it's a road. Like I think that I'm right about that.
So people have looked into this before then?
We don't.
Because there is an actual drive like to the church, and it is like it is a safety hazard for when it becomes like winter and you can't even see the drive.
So it might be a really great issue to send to a committee to have a conversation with physical plant. The other challenge is like one, we don't own any of that church property, and then two, we don't actually own Chapel View either.
Oh, okay, I see.
Like Chapel View is a privately owned thing that the college leases. So, and it doesn't mean that we wouldn't want to be concerned about lighting and safety, but it just will be, it's a really good question, it's a really complicated question.
I see. So, we can still have the motion to have someone look into it?
Absolutely.
And then we go from there, is that what it is?
Yeah, I mean, I think you could absolutely, I mean, if you wanted to send it to committee, you could.
Right.
I just wanted everybody to know that it'll be really complicated because we don't own any of that property.
I see.
I don't even think that the college owns that little.
So who should I talk? Who should I talk to just to like be informed about like the property lines and like where to go for that? Like I'm not.
Yeah. No. I mean, I think that ultimately we need to ask Warren wondering about it, because I think he would maybe have the best guess. But even that, like, might not be a straightforward answer, because we might have to go back to the owner of the property owners
right.
of the Chapel View property, not even the church property, but the actual, apartment property, and talk with them about it. Again, really important question, just complicated.
Sure. All right, thank you. I guess.
Just a question, do you still have that motion that you'd like a second for, or?
I would still like to put the motion.
All right, second goes to Wagner. We'll now move to discussion on the charge. On the charge. Any discussion on the charge to help in housing?
Call the question.
All right, there is a motion to call the question. Is there a second? Second call the question. All those in favor of calling the question, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed? Abstentions? The question is called. We'll now move to a vote on charging the Health and Housing Committee with looking into the entrance to Chapel View on the church side and safety concerns involving finding that road.
Yeah.
Correct. Okay. All those in favor of charging that to Health and Housing, please signify by saying aye.
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 All those opposed? Any abstentions? It is charged. We will now move back to new business. Senator Gustafson.
Okay, so diversity chairperson Gabe Groshes couldn't be here tonight because it is where we are. So anyway, he wanted me to bring up something that's happening in DLC right now and get y'all to discuss it. So basically, Dining Services has decided that they will no longer allow student activities to take place in the CAF. So that means, like, the drag show that's happening on Friday couldn't happen in the CAF anymore. And, X Got Talent couldn't happen in the CAF either. And Diversity Leadership Council is particularly upset about this decision, especially because Dining Service still intends to close the CAF to students for certain events. One example would be the Nobel Banquet. So they have written a letter, which I will read. It says,
is it also possible to email it to me? No? Okay.
Maybe. The security on it's kind of weird.
Go ahead.
I don't have to read it.
No, you can
Okay, I'll just read it really quickly. So it's dear Steve Shelgren and whomever it concerns. In consideration of the decision, Diversity Leadership Council would like to start a conversation. Basically, there are 20 student organizations that advocate for on-campus diversity and social justice initiatives. The Diversity Leadership Council communicates with a collective voice between those orgs. The council is a student-run organization to provide a forum for diversity on campus. We consider the restriction of the Evelyn Young dining room to be one of those issues about diversity and things. Yeah. Okay. So the 20 student organizations on the council unanimously oppose the restrictions put upon the utilization of the Evelyn Young dining room. The following summarizes our concerns. The Diversity Leadership Council is troubled by the lack of transparency regarding the decision process and campus notification of the decision to restrict the Evelyn Young dining room. Why was the Gustavus community not notified on this restriction of a community space? What was the decision-making process and who was involved? The Diversity Leadership Council believes the decision restricts access to one of the most communal spaces on our campus in which students, faculty, staff, and community members engage in dialogue and thought-provoking discourse through programming, presentations, conversations, and performances. The Diversity Leadership Council recognizes that college is a time of learning and exploration of ideas and values, including those which may not be comfortable at all. Through our academic work at a liberal arts college, we are taught by the highest caliber faculty in order to bring ourselves to the highest mastery of the subject area. The highest mastery of the subject area includes being taught how to think critically about others' perspectives, and knowing how to engage in dialogue and affirm viewpoints that may not be agreed upon. The restriction directly undermines and hinders that learning process by censoring students from engaging in dialogue that sparks conversation surrounding the exploration of ideas and values in a space that is intended for a community. Yes, I believe I can also share this letter with everyone. If not, we can request DLC to change the security in order to do so. Just interested if there's any sort of discussion on that or how you all feel about that restriction.
Chair Jacob or Johnson.
So first up, I'm also the parliamentarian of DLC, so I've been in on some of these conversations. And the first note that I have is that letter actually has not been approved yet. It's not been voted upon by the body, and it has not been sent out. So that's our rough draft, and in our meeting on Wednesday, we are going to determine whether or not we are actually going to approve this and send it. So, yeah.
Senator Thrash.
Even with it not being official, it sounds like it has a lot of support in DLC, am I right? You don't have to comment if you're not. Go ahead.
Okay, to this point, the letter itself has a lot of support. There's talk in DLC of adding a portion to it in which we protest. DLC protests the cap by not spending any money there. And that portion, first off, is not in the letter yet, so it would require an amendment to that letter, as well as that's something that is highly controversial right now.
Okay.
So, yeah.
With that, I agree wholeheartedly with the sentiment in the letter. I work for event support. That's what I do. I'm the tech guy. And there is no space as big and as accessible as the cat anywhere on campus. We've repeatedly failed to renovate the dive into something that could possibly replace the cab. The chapel is the chapel. And Bjorling is Bjorling. But there's nothing. Where else are you good? I don't even know where the dive show is, or where the drag show is happening this year.
In the cab.
It is? Okay. Well, where else are you going to do the drag show? Where else are you going to do Midnight Express? There is no other space. And the CAF, as much as the CAF sometimes acts like an independent business, it is completely and totally dependent on Gustavus. It is dependent on Gustavus students. The meal plan that most of us have to buy funds the CAF, funds all the tables, all the chairs, all the food, everything. And so I realize catering services deals with people from on the outside, and they have kind of their own identity. But at the same time, there is no CAF without Gustavus and without Gustavus students and our money, and they need to respect that. And they need to open this up. I think it's ridiculous that this has been allowed to go as far as it has. I yield.
Senator Egg.
First off, I agree completely with the previous speaker. And I was just curious if anyone in this body would be able to answer, why did the CAF start restricting organizations from going? I yield.
So the initial reason given was that... And to my knowledge, there are other reasons beyond this, but the initial reason that DLC was given was that some of the events happening in the CAF were making people uncomfortable, and as a quote-unquote public space, their wording, they felt that students should not be forced into uncomfortable situations. Thus, they kind of banned these events.
So if there was an area where, let's just say, if you sat in a section of the CAF, you wouldn't necessarily have to have these conversations or whatnot. Or if there was a different area that students could take their food, that they wouldn't have to be subjected to whatever they don't want to be subjected to in the CAF. I don't know. I think looking into that and maybe solving the problem that way would be... I yield the floor, though.
Senator Jim?
Outside that, do you know if the dining services has any other problem with people doing events in the cafeteria?
I do not know in specific. That was their main reason why that they gave DLC, and that's the only one that we discussed to this point. So
my understanding is that almost every time there's an event in the CAF, the dining service receives complaints from students about being annoyed that they can't go to the CAF and just have their dinner in peace and quiet. And I would be hesitant for assumptions to be made that this is about the drag show, because it's not about the drag show. I don't think that the dining service has a problem with the drag show. I think that the challenge becomes people, some planners, I think, like having a captive audience, and is it fair to all students to have to be a captive audience because of programming a lot of them in CAF?
Okay, yeah, one more thing. I was just going to say, in the letter, it sounds like the letter is to appeal the decision, kind of. But has DLC or the diversity committee actually looked for alternatives and tried to find problems or solutions to some of the problems that the dining services has with people doing events in the cafeteria? Are you?
We have not looked into any other alternatives. We decided that the most appropriate form of course of action would be to start by just creating a conversation. This one, this letter is not necessarily appealing the decision, more than we would like to be involved in the process of this. And their reasoning why they did it in the first place, all of the reasons, not just the ones that they're making known now, as well as we would like to engage in the conversation to potentially find other alternatives.
Senator Sobey.
All right, to echo the sentiments of the previous speaker, CAF is doing is wrong, and they're entirely supported by the money that we spend there. And honestly, there gets to a point where anytime DLC brings anything up, it's this like moral crusade and take this sort of action like, we're going to have a conversation. What the conversation doesn't solve anything. We can give them an ultimatum. Either they're going to accept it or they're not, and they're going to lose money. And no one wants that. And the easiest way to get around, like, if people are uncomfortable, we can always do what we do for other events, where we open up the other frickin' room for people to go eat food in there and do it in peace and quiet. This is a pretty simple thing. You know, it's the outcome there. You do this or you don't, or you lose money. Not this conversation thing where we're just going to, like, we're going to deal with it as it comes. It's just, like, take a stand and be done with it. And that's my problem, like, with Gustavus in general, it's always a conversation. It's never, let's do this and get it done with. It's always, let's push it off and keep having dialogue about it. When we, like, it seems like everyone's pretty on board with, like, the policy is wrong, but I have no idea what the policy actually is because the letter doesn't actually state what the policy is. And everyone is on board with, like, the CAF shouldn't be doing that, but we should also, like, bear in mind that people should be able to, like, eat in peace and quiet, because there are definitely times where I don't really want to listen to music. I want to eat my food and get out. So I yield my time.
Chair Panzer.
I'm concerned with some of the sentiments that have been aired about the CAF as a business who's entirely dependent on our money. I think that's simplistic. In my time on Kitchen Cabinet this semester, I've been very inspired by how connected they are to the educational resident commission of the college. They're not a business. They don't see themselves as a business. They're motivated by, they need to stay in the black, of course, but they really care about, fulfilling all the other goals of this college. And furthermore, I think that this is a pretty grounded issue that they're addressing. I've been in the CAF where there are demonstrations during rush meal times with speakers, electronic speakers and people with microphones, in which a lot of people are really bothered just by the presence of a loud voice in a time when they're there to socialize and dine. I think that, it's not, I don't know. I personally, I kind of stand behind that in that, rush meal times, shouldn't be an opportunity for very loud broadcasting of ideas. I think that that should be, you shouldn't be forcing the event just by attending a meal hour. At the same time, I do recognize that, college should be for comfortable years and that these are important discourses and dialogues to have. However, I don't think peak mealtime, when people are there to dine and socialize, is the time to do them. So that's my first, that's one of my main points. And also just, I hope that you all recognize that dining services is really in touch with the mission of this college in a variety of ways, and that they're not doing this because they think that, people talking in the CAF on stage and such is taking away from their market share or something. It's more complicated, and it comes more from addressing a student concern than from making sure that they get the most money out of students. But I'm impressed with the idea of using the money as sort of a token of dissent or whatever against the policy. That's an interesting idea.
Sure.
Um, 5 pillars of Gisteris, they still have the same, they still uphold the same integrity that we do as students, as faculty, as staff members. And I understand that it's frustrating that student orgs can no longer have rallies or performances or whatever in the cafeteria, but also it is a student space that's not intended for that, and I think that's something that we need to keep in mind. Like, as, like, for Thetas, we do Mr. Gustavus in there, and like, yeah, we're going to have to figure something else out, but there are other spaces on campus. But anyway, second point. But I would encourage someone to perhaps make a motion to charge student and academic affairs to look into this more. I understand the fact that maybe going on something like a hunger strike might be a little extreme, but I think we do need to have a discussion with them. We need to tell them where students are coming from, and we need to understand where they're coming from. And I think that that's something that Student Senate should initiate. So I don't.
I also do want to remind the body we are right now just in new business, so we have not actually entered conversation about this issue. So some of you that are entering multiple times speaking, if you have new business, you might not be able to bring it up. So maybe we should enter discussion on this. And Wagner, you're going to have the floor. Discussion on the issue of the restrictions in the cafeteria.
Oh, I'm sorry. We have to have a motion to open discussion.
Yes.
And you have to vote.
But we have to have a. We vote.
Okay. So all those in favor of opening discussion on the cafeteria restrictions, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? Any abstentions? We are now in discussion. I apologize for that. And it's going to be a new. Senator Wagner, you still have the floor.
Okay. As far as the community space on the CAF, yes, that's very important that students are allowed to go in there and feel comfortable, but we do have auditoriums on campus for purposes of shows like the drag show or Mr. Gustavus or whatever the event may be, and the CAF is for eating. You know, it's a social place, yes, but it's not an auditorium. We have certain spaces for those events. I think it would be pertinent for DLC to maybe explore other spaces before going back at the CAF or at dining services and having a big problem with that when they haven't worked in other spaces, as noted by the previous speaker.
Co-President Timmons.
So I would highly encourage every member of this body and those especially on the speaker's list to think about what is Senate's role in this issue. Think about what authority, what capacity do we have, and what sort of senators and members of this body want that to look like. I think every student will have his or her individual opinion on this issue, but I think as far as moving forward with the discussion, as far as whether we're going to discuss the letter specifically from DLC, or if we're going to discuss certain options or a certain charge for a committee to look into this, I think it's very important for us all to think about what is Senate's role and what is my job here as a senator representing my constituencies. And so I just think it's great that we're having a whole multitude of ideas and opinions on this topic, and I really want to encourage that, but through the lens of thinking, what can we do and is this the most effective and efficient way to address this issue in the context of what is our role?
Senator Peterson.
Okay, I was just going to make a motion to charge this to academic and student affairs.
Jermaine.
Is there a second?
Jermaine. Is that Jermaine at this time with the speaker's list being this long?
It's a motion.
Okay.
And it was seconded. Do we now move to discussion on the charge to student academic affairs? Any discussion on the charge? Any discussion? Senator Thrash.
I would only ask that student academic affairs is looking into this. He's in touch with the health and housing chair, because obviously he's been in touch with the kitchen cabinet. He's a lot more knowledge with the cab. I yield.
Any other discussion? Chair Panzer.
I agree with previous speakers' sentiment to keep in touch with me and my committee. I would also encourage the investigation or discussion that committee about working to confine this policy towards peak mealtime hours, because I think that was where the primary concern came from. And if there's a way to leave this space open for evening activities that do it sort of a big attraction like the drag show or Mr. Davis, right? So, yeah.
Senator Peterson?
No.
All right, so any other discussion? I see.
Yeah, I'd just like to say that kind of building off of a previous speaker, that we as senators are representing the people who voted for us to sit here. So whether this goes to committee or not, I think it's important that we talk to our constituents and see how they feel, rather than just postulating what they could be feeling or having and spewing our own sentiments on this specific topic. Seeing where they're coming from, so then we can all have an adequate stance on what really is the pulse of the Gustavus community on this specific situation, and really in general on more situations that will come in the future that are similar to this, or maybe not in the magnitude, but are similar in the nature. And with that, I yield.
Okay. Friendly reminder: we're having discussion right now. Only on the charge, just your academic affairs. Senator Hyde.
In regards to the charge, I was happy with the idea of keeping him informed with health and housing, because I think part of this charge has to deal with students being able to use the Gusware and bring food with them out of the CAF if they're not wanting to be involved in this. So I think it's a good thing that it was with health and housing. I'd like them to keep that in mind about the availability of Gusware and taking food out of the CAF if they don't want to be subject to whatever is in the CAF. I yield.
Any other discussion on the charge? Discussion? Seeing none, we'll move to a vote. All those in favor of charging the Student Academic Affairs Committee with looking into the restrictions in the CAF, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? Any abstentions? So charged. We will now return to old business. Or new business.
Yep.
And Senator Wagner. Senator Peterson. Senator Hegg.
Yield.
Apologize. Senator Miller.
Yield.
Co-President Pimpin.
Yield.
Now, Senator Hegg.
Yield.
Senator Thratt.
Yield.
Senator Sobe.
Yield.
Senator Singh.
Just really quick, a previous speaker mentioned Gussieware. Inter Hall Council was discussing this. There's a huge issue of a pileup in the bins. This is a major concern, because I recently found out, some of the area coordinators recently found out, that if you borrow Gustyware, you're supposed to bring it back to the CAF, and I don't think a lot of people know that, so I request that everyone spread the word that you're supposed to bring the Gustyware back to the CAF. The reason they put out the bins was because there was a huge pileup in people were just keeping it in their rooms, and so to eliminate that, they put in the bins, but that causes a different counter problem. Also, if they're gonna put the Gustyware in the bin, it's kind of a last resort type thing, and they should rinse it out if they're going to put it in there, but otherwise bring it to the CAF.
Any other new business? New business? Seeing none, we'll now move to announcements. Who's got it first?
Oh, yeah.
Co-President Timmons.
All right, so I've got a couple of announcements. One, start off and say have a very fun, safe Halloween. As I've said a time before, I am very pleased with every member of this body, and I'd like to see you back here on Monday, healthy and happy, after a fun, responsible weekend. With that, there are a lot of things going on Friday. Sports community, pick something,
have a blast. Saturday, Effie's are hosting the SNL. It's a costume party. Always one of the largest SNLs of the year. Always a blast. Love to see you there. And I think that's good for me.
Kara, sweet.
I would just like to announce that Senator Franken's going to be here tomorrow in an event I coordinated that has drained every last ounce of energy out of me. So come, it'll be fun. Super fun. Yay. And I won't be here next week. So come on over for Ford. Exercise your super parades. Yay.
Where's David?
Oh, sorry. The event. Thank you for reminding me. There we are. That's why I keep you around. 5:45 and alumni. And Representative Clark Johnson will be here too. And then Tina Smith, who is running for lieutenant governor, will be here as well. Thank you. And it's open to the public, so.
Chair Banzer.
On the topic of Safe Halloweens, the ILS host program on Wednesday will be hosting a zombie crawl. It's sort of tweaked off of the Twin Cities zombie pub crawl thing. But it's just a couple different safe, you know, substance-free sort of Halloween-themed programming events down at the ILS houses. So it'll be like free, fun Halloween treats in one place. There'll be free Halloween drinks in another. There'll be like face painting and crafts in another house. And then my house, Walker House, will be doing a haunted house. And the theme is a haunted Gustavus, where the premise is that you've been like caught by campus safety and are escorted across campus, which is our basement. Spooky Gustavus thing will pop out at you. So be really fun. So it's on Wednesday, 7-9, down at the bottom of the hill on 7th Street. ILS program, as a side note, is awesome. And if you're in a student organization that can benefit from having a house, look into applying in the spring because they're awesome. Great program.
Chair Johnson.
The Coed Haunted House is on Saturday. I advise everybody to come to it. It's going to be a lot of fun. And it's put on by the wonderful CFs there. Also, to the people in my committee, if you could please stay for 5 minutes afterwards. Just have a couple things to discuss with.
Senator Singh?
This is, again, a little bit in advance. The International Festival is on November 22nd, the Saturday before Thanksgiving, Saturday at 6 o'clock in Alumni Hall. So come to that. And otherwise, if you want to participate in either the talent show or the fashion show, let me know. So that's it.
Some Cobras and Goldstein, imagine that. I am not funny, I just realized that. Okay, so first off, attendance, real quick. Just make sure you guys are here as often as possible. If you're not going to be here, please email our administrative director, Knudsen, as far in advance as possible, just so we can make sure we're getting stuff done in here. Also, I want to thank Senator Gustafson for bringing in Eta Sigma Phi, because I did not know they were here. Also, sorry for all my mess-ups tonight, but I think everyone had fun. So, and if you have any concerns about how meetings are being run, please do not hesitate to reach out to the ombudsperson.
Chair Gersh. We're going to be having on campus Angels in America. I forget the subtitle. It's a very long name, but it's one of the best pieces of theater writing in this last century. It's a fantastic work. Everyone should try to go see if you can. The department's done an amazing job. I think the stage is going to look fantastic. You should all head on down sometime this weekend. It's going to be really cool.
Senator
Gustafson.
So it is coming out week, and there is an event happening right now in the courtyard. It's called Queer We Are, and there's going to be a bunch of other fun activities this week, too. There's posters. Check it out. Also, next Wednesday, I believe, which I don't think it's this one's coming Wednesday, but the next one. There's going to be the female orgasm event, so go learn about this Wednesday. It is this Wednesday, day after tomorrow. So learn about safe relationships, and you're going to have a good time, pun intended. Also, you should vote for Santa Lucia. So that's open to all sophomore women who exemplify the five pillars and all good things. So if you know any sophomore women, please vote for them. And D committee, y'all meet Saturday at 12 in the SUDEM. Thank you.
Senator Ciotta.
This may be a little in advance too. I know that elections are coming up for whatever state you're from. I'm specifically not from Minnesota, but regardless of your affiliation, I highly advise everyone who is 18, which I assume everyone is, to go out and vote and exercise your right. It's, you know, a great thing about living in the United States. So yeah, just exercise it. Along with your body. Yeah.
Any other announcements? 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 If none, we are adjourned.